do that when your thoughts are authentic? Sheriff Scott Israel is nothing if not authentic. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on. And you're right. My mom used to tell us when we were growing up, the truth doesn't need a leaning post. So I just come in, answer the questions, and I don't need a good memory. I just got to speak the truth.
So T-minus about 48 and counting?
Yeah. You know, Jill, it's been a grind. You know, people ask me, what's the difference between this time and, you know, the last time? And last time, I was a candidate focused on winning. In a way, a candidate focused on winning, but I'm also the sheriff of Broward County, so I got a pretty busy day job, you know,
right.
So it's a grind. But, you know, the Lord's been with us every step of the way. He is in charge, and we feel great about where we are. The people who early voted, I met so many people who early voted, got your back, thanks for what you've done. And, you know, and it's just a validation that, you know, we've worked hard, we've been out there. We've kept kids out of jail like never before.
Mm-hmm.
We've put the real, real bad guys in jail. We've admitted our mistakes. We've been transparent. And I think the one microcosm of our administration was just a month ago, when you and I talked about it, I think a few days after it happened, when Mr. Rezaios escaped from the courthouse. He was on trial, still is on trial for murder. And whether he's guilty or innocent is irrelevant at this point. But he did escape, and people said it's going to be the darkest hour, the darkest month in Broward, in my administration. And I was steadfast to this. I said, leadership isn't tested when the skies are blue and the seas are flat. The leadership that a man or woman provides is tested when the turbulent times come and the unpredictable seas. And we were transparent. I was on TV 30 minutes after it happened, and every day saying we still haven't got him into custody. And then 5 days later, due to the unbelievable work of the Broward Sheriff's Office, so many people, he was brought into custody under my leadership. And in this day and age, and you report on so many horrific things that happen in our country, especially to African-American men, he was brought into custody without one shot being fired. And with no force used under our leadership. And that's what I want people to remember.
That's, you know, and it's impactful because you don't hear that very often.
No.
That they were brought in with no incident. I'm sure you heard about the sadness of Wayne's cousin being shot in Chicago. And Donald Trump's response, like, I don't know, less than an hour later, it's just so tone deaf. And, you know, that is, you know, I really don't want to plead the, I'm not going to plead the case today of Trump versus Hillary Clinton, because both of them are flawed. We'll talk about, you know, how each one of them is just seeming to be stabbing their own selves in the foot.
Well, she may be flawed, but he's flawed.
He's dangerous. She's flawed, he's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because anybody who could, you know, just relate it back to himself, that, I mean, his tweet was, see, I told you, you getting shot in the streets every day. Now black people are going to vote for Trump. Like, anybody who could deduct that from that. And so I hope that you see the stark contrast. It is not in what people say, it's in their actions. So when you go to the polls on Tuesday, I want you to think about the people that you're voting for, the people that are on your ballot, and what actions have you seen them operate in their line of duty. Think about those things when you make your vote. I think that is the clearest line of a man's work will speak for him.
It has to be the body of work.
Yeah.
It can't be we have too many candidates
or women
coming out 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, nobody knows who they are, and they appear at a church. You know, and Congressman Al C. Hastings, a very good friend of mine, he gave me the ultimate compliment about maybe 5 or 6 months ago. He was talking to a large group of people, and he said, let me say something about your sheriff and my sheriff, Sheriff Israel. He said, he's been out at the black churches months before election and years before election.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm visible. It's just about, you know, connecting with people. And that's what you need to do if you're going to be successful. People need to know who you are. They need to be able to reach out and touch you. You know, you need to be visible. And if nothing else, we've done that.
Yeah, definitely. So what are you hoping for? What will you give? Have you started thinking about your acceptance speech?
Well, I'm not Muhammad Ali. I don't have that kind of confidence. But then again, who did?
You know,
he was a one of a kind athlete and a man. But so I'm not predicting. I don't predict, but I just say I feel very, very good. I'm claiming it, you know, God has told me to claim it, and I've claimed it, mm-hmm. and I feel that, you know, we're the right team at the right time, and we're going to get another 4 years, and we're not going to rest on our laurels. We're going to continue to bring diversity to this agency. We're going to continue to reduce violent crime. We're going to continue to keep young people out of jail and gear them towards programs and partner with people like Marsha Ellison of the NAACP and you know, people like Mr. Runcie, who have it right.
Yeah, definitely.
And then my immediate goal, my short-term goal is to, you know, I've already outfitted 50 of our deputies with body cameras, and we have to outfit the rest of the, you know, the agency with body cameras. You need to know what goes on out there. I need to know what goes on out there. The NFL uses instant replay, and we need instant replay.
Now, have you all figured out a way to keep them on? Because now that's the problem. It's like they have cameras, but they keep falling off.
Yeah, well, we're working on the technology end of it. And if it falls off...
Because do you make those decisions, like, in terms of what kind of equipment? Like, you have the cameras, but we, you know, they have different harnesses.
Yes, we do.
You know, stuff like that. You make that decision.
We make that decision, and that's why, you know, we have a committee set up, mm-hmm. Led by a captain and two sergeants, uh-huh. and we have a committee set up and everything like that. But ultimately, we have stringent policies. Our deputies will adhere to them. And if a deputy doesn't turn on that camera, when it should have been turned on, there will be ramifications.
Awesome. And I interestingly enough, today I was watching CNN, and there was a really great story about a kid, because, you know, we don't talk very much down here about the heroin problems that are happening all over the country, and didn't realize just how impactful it is. But there was a story, a young woman who was stopped by the police, and she said, "Listen, I've got heroin in the car." And apparently she and her mother, you know, she told the cops she and her mother had been trying to find a rehab all day, and they hadn't found anything. So the officer said, I'm sorry about that. And so he took her to jail, and, you know, but when he was taking her in, he said, "Listen, I'm going to give you my phone number. So if you need help, you reach out to me." And so she, you know, went in, and she did her time. She got out. She went to rehab. She got out of rehab, and she called the officer and thanked him.
Wow.
And I just thought it was such a beautiful story. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't huge, but it was, she told the story. It wasn't the police coming out telling the story, you know, for PR or anything. She told the story about, you know, he did his job and arrested her as he had to. But the kindness that he showed to her, even, you know, at her darkest hour, that helped her. And I think that that's a side of the work that you do. And the cop talked about it afterwards. And he was, you know, teary-eyed. And he was like, "And this is what we do this for." And I thought, that's what we don't see, is that is one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. And to see that cop really be brought so emotional because something that he did helped her get clean. Yeah, I just thought it was, you know, it was a good one of those, you know, CNN. And he wasn't a CNN hero, but I thought it was really poignant to show why, another reason why a lot of men and women take that job. It's really to help people.
It really is. And the cornerstone of my administration from day one has been community policing. Mm-hmm. And that's just an unbelievably great story.
Yeah.
You know, it's one you won't hear about. But the most amazing part of you know, of what we've done, we do grocery giveaways. We partner right here with Cox Radio, three of us.
Yeah.
Broward Sheriff's Office, Cox Radio, and then certainly Wayne Barton Christian Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring, maybe twice a month, we bring 100,000 pounds of food out to a church parking lot, and people line up and fill their baskets up with you know, it's an outdoor market.
Yeah.
And I cannot tell you, Jill, I cannot tell you how many people cried. and came over to me and said, thank you, and other, you know, critics, I don't, you know, I don't care about critics. Mm-hmm. Lions don't care about the opinion of sheep. But I got to tell you something. Critics, you know, will tell you, it's not our job to give out food. Well, Colonel Al Pollack, who's here with me tonight, will tell you, there's not a better job we do.
Yeah.
Give people food and help people. And, you know, the amazing thing about it is, what the critics don't understand is, one day, a person that's on one of those lines that is being able to get groceries, they're going to find out about somebody who's trying to do something up to no good, and they're going to say, you know what, I remember the day Sheriff Israel, I'm calling BSO, and I'm going to tell them about that. And that's how you connect with the community.
And then they will remember that when somebody else is in need, and they will reach out. And that is...
Amen.
That's the key to community.
Amen.
So, Chris Norwood and Senator Dwight Bullard. Senator Dwight Bullard is in here as a candidate today.
Yeah, that's right. We got to get him to promote himself a little bit. He's such a humble man. But hello, Jill.
How are you?
I'm fine.
So, did you have any? We were talking earlier before you got here. We were like, you know, I just really want Sheriff Israel to, you know, to tell our audience, because it is candidate open mic night, you know, what you want them to know about you and about your commitment to this community when they go to the polls. And you said you had a question.
Yeah. You know, my question, you know, I'm a, you know, most of my focus is in Miami-Dade, but I can imagine what a sheriff in Broward is also doing. It's very common. But just from a background perspective, why is it that Broward County, you have an elected sheriff, rather in Dade County, we don't have an elected sheriff. And why do you feel that, or if you feel this way, that it's better that the people actually decide who their chief law enforcement officer is rather than an appointed person by a mayor?
Well, that's a great question. Thanks for asking that. And good luck to you and you know, all God's blessings. It's a question I get asked a lot, and I thought about it a lot. And now I'm very solid with my answer. There are 67 counties in the state of Florida. 66 have sheriffs. Miami-Dade is the only one that doesn't. They have a public safety director that's appointed by the mayor and the commission. And the reason Miami-Dade went to that is they said they wanted to take politics out of the selection. But you can never take politics out of the selection. And down there, they have a commission, and those commissioners are voted in by people. And then they're, you know, I want him to be the sheriff. I want her to be the director. So you can't take the politics out of it. So at the end of the day, if you have to have a commission select your law enforcement leader, or the people select your law enforcement leader, I believe the power of the people is always greater than the people in power. I believe the people get it right over commissioners, and I'd rather see an elected sheriff selected by the people rather than by a commission of 6, 9, 10 people who are voted in by people, because you can't get the politics out of it. Let the voters vote.
Yeah. All right. Do I?
Well, yeah, I had a question a little off that topic, sort of going into what you were talking about in terms of community service. And when I talk to officers around both counties, they tell these amazing stories of what they do on their own time, whether it's coaching football or giving back to their community through nonprofits, et cetera. And I've been to a few 501c3 organizations that have given out awards to those officers for doing great work. My question to you is, in the age of technology, whether it's a Twitter page or a Twitter feed or adding it to your website, is there something that can be done through an administrative process, through the sheriff's process, highlighting those kinds of things? You know, I think it would be like amazing to go into the BSO website and see at the bottom scrolling, you know, all the good things that officers are doing around the community, or, you know, today we want to commend Officer so-and-so or Deputy Sheriff so-and-so for doing this great work. You know what I mean? Just something, because, you know, as you pointed out, it's always the harrowing times, the tough times, where, you know, we find these contentious moments, but especially in the African-American community, we find, you know, whether it's a cousin, friend, or brother who's a member of the police force that we go to all the time for any number of things, we can all sort of call on this person, but that person never gets to
Yeah, give the love that they deserve.
Yeah,
you know, we actually have a on sheriff.org. We kind of put out, we highlight some of the amazing things our folks do. And I'm going to take a look at it myself tomorrow morning and see if we could go make it more in line with what you're saying, or perhaps right there. But, you know, you said football coach and coaching. You know, I've won some awards and commendations in 37 years of police service. But the only one I talk about is in 2007, I'm actually the national winner of the Brian Piccolo Youth Sport Coach of the Year Award, touching kids, you know, and then to me, you know, there's nothing greater we can do than to take care of our kids. You know, children make up 30% of Broward County, but they make up 100% of our future. And that's what's so great about our civil citation program. I'm so proud of that. You know, the year before I became sheriff, BSO issued 68 civil citations. Mm-hmm. Since I've been sheriff in almost 4 years, we're coming up on 2,000. That's 2,000 kids who weren't arrested. My mission of measuring our success by the kids we keep out of jail rather than the kids we put in jail is coming to fruition. But I'm going to read that website thoroughly tomorrow, and I'm going to make sure we're highlighting, you know, deserving individuals in law enforcement and our civilians who do a lot of good things, and making sure that we can do even more to connect with our communities.
Because I think that is one of the, that's the kind of the missing link right now, yeah. Is that we always address the problems with police, but we don't, it's not balanced. When we talk about all of the great things that they do, the small moments that really change people's lives and communities. So,
Joe.
Yes?
I have another question, and it sort of dovetails with some of the conversation we're going to have later. But, in Dade County, I've been working with a third-party candidate, and we've been providing poll watchers inside the polls. And for our listeners who do not know, candidates, PACs, parties, political parties can actually have one person at each polling location to watch and monitor the practices of the elections department to ensure that everything is going according to plan, and that being there allows those poll watchers, if something isn't right, that they're documenting it and perhaps challenging those things later in the court or things of that nature. But we've been seeing some things in Dade County, and I'm just curious as to the extent of law enforcement. I mean, you know, I'm sure you're aware there's a 100-foot rule for polling locations, and I'm seeing that being disregarded, like, all the time. And we've had conversations with the election supervisor of those sites that don't seem concerned with enforcing that. We've seen from our poll watchers, every day I get a email from my poll watchers with a update on what they've seen at locations. And we've seen a growing problem of assistance in the polling booth with outside, sometimes associated with various campaigns, going in the booth, so-called assisting voters. And it doesn't seem like there's any regulation of that, you know. And maybe there needs to be some new legislation to deal with that. Of course, everyone who's assists must sign a document inside. But when we talk to the elections persons that are there, they seem to be, helpless in enforcing even the most basic laws. How do we get over that?
I got to tell you, Colonel Pollock, who's here tonight, who's the director of law enforcement for the Broward Sheriff's Office, had many meetings with the supervisor of elections up here, and we have an ops plan, and we haven't seen any of that. Now, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but myself, I'm an active campaigner, and of the 20 early voting sites over the last 9 days, I went to all 20, and I probably went to an average of about 7 to 10 or 11 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not seen one violation from my opponents, other people running for judges. I haven't seen one candidate violate that 100-foot rule. I haven't seen one argument or one disagreement. I haven't been inside other than to vote for myself. So I'm just hoping that maybe, you know, it'll get better in Dade County. But I haven't seen any of it in Broward County.
That's amazing. Colonel Pollack, did you want to comment?
No. And, you know, we have a hotline set up too, Sheriff. And we're responsible for all the security, you know, for the supervisor of election. We go by every day and check.
Also, I'd like to add on that we've had briefings with the supervisor of elections months in advance planning for this event, you know, for the, you know, for the early voting and also for the super vote on Tuesday. We meet once a week to go over the rules. All of our deputies are given the paperwork in regards to the election, you know, the 100-foot rule. These are things that we discuss, you know, with all our command staff. We have tons of literature that we update, you know, regularly about our election. So we don't really have those problems. If we do, deputies, you know, respond to them and we, you know,
yeah,
and we correct them.
I think this might be the reason why we might need an elected sheriff. Because in Dane County, it seems like the enforcement of these laws seem, you know, that they're, you know, there's no caring to even attempt to try to enforce them. But apparently, if you have an elected sheriff who is independent, who's independent and who wants to see the, you know, obviously wants to see these laws enforced, maybe that's the way we need to go in Dade County.
In Dade County, and the fact that Dade County is the only one that doesn't have one says a lot. We're going to take a break right quick and wrap up with Sheriff Scott Israel, because he's got a million things to do between now and Tuesday. Stay tuned. I am Jill Tracy, and this is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Hot Talk will be right back on Hot 105.
She won 10 Grammy Awards.
7 Stellar Awards.
She sold over 12 million records worldwide. And she's the biggest selling female gospel artist of all time. She's CeCe Winans. And she's the next featured artist on our Hot Live Up Close and Personal series. Friday, September 2nd, hosted by James T. and Jill Tracy. From 1 till 3 p.m. The only way to be a part of this once-in-a-lifetime experience
is to win your way in.
By locking all of your radios to 105.1 and listen for the designated song to text and win.
Hotline,
up close and personal with CeCe Winans is exclusively on the home of CeCe
and today's R&B and old school.
Hot 105. For more chances to win and listen to this experience from anywhere, download our free app by texting Hot 105 after 28367 now.
Turn up the light.
There are lots of messages out there about what you should do after you've been injured in a car accident. At Golson Spine Rehabilitation Center, our message is simple. You're hurt. You need a chiropractor. And that chiropractor is your choice. Not a referral company's or an attorney's, but yours. And when you choose Golson Spine Rehab Center, you get a team of qualified doctors and physical therapists ready to take care of your injuries. So whether it's our plantation, Pembroke Pines, North Lauderdale, or Aventura office, just know that we're putting your injuries first. After an accident, exercise your power to choose and call Golson Spine Rehab Center at 866-GOLDSON. That's 866-465-3766. Four locations to serve you and one convenient number, 866-GOLDSON, because chiropractic and physical therapy work.
It's the perfect time of year to enjoy the refreshing taste of Fanta with 100% natural flavors. Fanta is available in strawberry, pineapple, orange, grape, and mango. Stop by your local Dion's Oil and Presidente supermarkets and pick up some Fanta.
For thousands of local foster children, changing schools can mean losing months of learning progress. And without necessary school supplies, catching up can be even harder.
It's hard starting over.
The day I start, I'm already behind.
I never know what I'm going to need or how I'm going to get it.
To help, Mattress Firm is collecting school supplies for local foster children.
I just want to do well in school.
I feel bad asking for paper and pen.
Bring your gift of paper, pens, binders, calculators, and backpacks to any Mattress Firm and help a foster child succeed in school. You can also donate online at mattressfirmfosterkids.org.
Now, I'm ready to go back to school.
On behalf of the foster kids in your neighborhood, Mattress Firm thanks you.
Not everyone can be a foster parent,
but anyone can help a foster child.
Help a foster child start the school year right with a gift of backpacks and school supplies. Donate at any Mattress Firm or mattressfirmfosterkids.org.
Sweet.
Nice.
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
So awesome. Wow.
Very cool.
When you read the reviews of Epson's revolutionary, totally cartridge-free EcoTank printer, you'll see phrases like flawless, excellent, and the new standard. That's because it prints up to 8,000 pages without you ever having to change a cartridge. It comes with so much ink, you could print for years.
Love this printer.
See EcoTank at Office Depot, Office Max, Best Buy, and Staples. Epson.com/EcoTank.
Do you know what it's like to wake up every day thinking about one bad mistake you made? I do. It's because my mistake was to drink and drive. I caused a wreck that killed two innocent young ladies. They say you make your bed, you have to lay in it. Well, my bed's a 3-inch mattress on a concrete slab, and I've been laying in it for nearly a decade. My name is Eric, inmate P22679. Don't be like me.
Funded by the Florida Department of Transportation.
In a world full of rules and restrictions, Boost Mobile offers a new idea. Introducing Unlimited, unhooked for just $50 a month. No overages, no games. Just the freedom to rock tunes 24/7. Show the world what they missing when they don't follow you. So if you out there living that unlimited life, Unlimited Unhook is the plan for you. Set yourself free with Boost Mobile, a proud sponsor of an unlimited world. Boost Mobile, where you at?
Streaming is optimized with video at up to 480p plus resolution and music at extreme quality. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. Service subject to certain terms. Plans include unlimited domestic talk, text, and data. Unlimited music streaming available from select providers, with some streaming requiring paid subscription or fees. Visit boostmobile.com/data-free-music as providers or services may change. Taxes and fees may apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere and subject to change. Offer, prohibited network use rules, and other restrictions apply. See boostmobile.com or store for details.
Join us for the 6th Annual Women of Color Empowerment Conference, starting Friday, September 9th at 6:30 p.m. A reception and concert with Mickey Howard, Avery Sunshine, and the Alan Paul Band. On Saturday, September 10th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., a full day of empowerment sessions and dynamic topics for leaders. For tickets and sponsorship information, go to southfloridawomenofcolor.com or call 954-900-3494.
Tom Joyner in the morning, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and everybody knows the song. 105.1.
What up, Sean?
What's up? Hey, what do you think of your boy, though? Ryan Lochte, though.
That's your boy.
Yeah,
the lion boy.
Speedos dropped him. Who's the person that endorsed him, though?
It's a throat lozenge. And they said, because their lozenges are forgiving.
Well, he ain't getting on no cereal box, that's for sure. Unless it's the box of tricks.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to Hot Talk. Never miss a moment. Or an episode of Hot Talk with the Hot 105 app. You can download the app for Android and iPhone. Coming up on Hot Talk at midnight, she just got an amazing endorsement. Shouts out to her. Pam Keith for Senate is here. And along with one of the newbies in the political race. But she has hit the ground running. Fayola Delicia is here, and she will be in the studio. And right now, Sheriff Scott Israel, as always, here on Sunday nights with us on Hot Talk. This is the last leg of this race right now. And so are you excited about the next couple of days? Do you find it hard to sleep?
I do, yeah. For the last couple of days, but... hopefully I'll sleep like a baby Wednesday. I just want to, you know, I know you have a lot of guests to get on, but I want to thank the voters, anybody who's, you know, you voted by mail. Thank you, and thank you for your votes. If you came out to early voting, it was so hot out there this week. Thank you for waiting on the, you know, lines and coming in to early vote. We have Election Day coming up on Tuesday. Look at your voter's registration card. Early voting's over. You have to go to one specific place and get out and vote for Tuesday. I thank you for all the votes and all the confidence that you've put in me, and we're going to continue to have a great sheriff's office that's going to serve our community. But remember, after early voting's over and the elections are in, starting August 31st, as Democrats, we have to come together and make sure that we have each other's back, win or lose. And in November, two people you got to remember to vote for, Scott Israel, and Hillary Clinton.
There you go. There you go. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tiff. Thanks for having me on, and I will see you the same time next month.
Yes, indeed.
Nothing stops.
Nothing at all. Awesome. Thank you so much. So now, Chris Norwood, you have been on the polls like a jackrabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, darling. You've been on the polls. But what... Is that why both of y'all are coughing over there, you and Dwight?
I know I had like to take a break last week because I was just exhausted. But yeah, I've been circling the county and really focused on about 3 early voting sites. And as a disclaimer, I also work on campaigns, so it's been very exciting. I mean, we got to make an incredible. Several incredible decisions on Tuesday, and hopefully, I don't know if now is the time, but we have to really, at some point tonight, we need to go through some of these races and really speak on it. But we have an extraordinary candidate who's here with us today, and before, I'm sure, before you introduce Mr. Canova, I mean, I just want to thank you for the hard work that you've been doing, and I wish you well. The groundwork that you've set is extraordinary.
Do you have wait a minute, Mark? Do you have this? Tim Canova, how are you?
Doing very well. Nice to be here. Thank you, Joe.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now listen, he is not. Do you have that? Could you play that? it is no joke because I told when I first became aware that Debbie Wasserman Schultz had an opponent. I was like, you know what? Have you heard of this Tim Canova guy? Who is he? He is like just come out of nowhere and he is everywhere. I need your street team.
Thank you. I'm very proud of the team
we've
built.
For real, for real. So now tell us, in short form, who is Tim Canova?
Well,
did you come from?
I was born in New York.
Okay.
My father was
a
child immigrant. My dad came to this country as a 2-year-old, and he was a young man during the Great Depression, and he served in the U.S. Army Air Corps during World War II. After the war, he was in the space program, and that was my childhood. He died when I was a child, suddenly, and my mom was a young widow with 3 young boys.
Mm.
So my mom went to work full-time to keep the family in the same home, and I also credit Social Security Survivor's Benefits, the safety net. So I know what the safety net meant for my family.
Yeah.
And I am now a law professor at Nova Southeastern University. And I've been teaching for over 20 years. I've been an educator. I've moved around the country for my teaching career, although my first teaching job was University of Miami in the mid-1990s and fell in love with Florida. Like a lot of New Yorkers, I've got a lot.
I'm from Detroit. So when we come here, it's like, wait a minute.
Exactly. There's so many transplants who are here in South Florida.
Yeah.
And my opponent has tried to criticize me for not being from South Florida, which... Well, guess what? Neither is she.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but we digress. Yeah. We invited, we have to do that disclaimer, we invited Debbie Wasserman Schultz to be on Hot Talk, and we have not heard back from her. Okay.
And I've been trying to get her to debate me on a regular basis. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Martin Luther King Jr. Southern Christian Leadership Conference,
mm-hmm.
The branch here in South Florida invited us to debate. Debbie Wasserman Schultz said no. America TV, the leading Hispanic TV outlet in South Florida, invited us to debate. She said no. And I just think this is so typical. She's very much ignored the African American and Hispanic communities in this district. She's ignored their concerns, and she doesn't want to speak to their issues.
So, that does kind of open the door for, what do you, because I think... No, I know this election. There is a lot of misconception. So, in terms of your candidacy, what do you think are some of the concerns of the African American community, and how you can address them better than anyone else can?
Sure. From what I gather when I'm speaking with folks in this district, and it's not just the African American community. I'll say some of these issues run across a lot of communities.
Mm-hmm.
People are concerned about jobs, and there are not enough good jobs to keep families together. And, the cost of education, the level of Social Security benefits for senior citizens. These are issues that I think affect the African-American community perhaps more than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you add the issues of race on top of that with Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
and this war on drugs, which I think has been a disaster for everyone, but especially for the African-American community, because the way it's enforced. You know, drug use is as widespread in white populations as any others, but we know that...
Yeah, we were just talking about how a heroin epidemic has taken over in upstate New York and...
Exactly,
you know,
in rural areas, no doubt.
Yeah, a lot
and,
of rural...
But even marijuana use, you know, and this is a big difference between my opponent and myself on all these issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she takes millions of dollars in corporate money and money from big Wall Street banks, and I don't take a penny from corporate interests.
So how did you fund this whole thing?
Well,
that was my next question, yeah. Because that's a big thing. Like, okay, where did he get all this money from? Who is funding him? It's a bunch of, you know.
It's ordinary working folks from around the country. And, you know, Wasserman Schultz has criticized me for taking outside money. But we've got more donors in the state of Florida than she does. And she's been a congresswoman for 12 years, and I've been a candidate for less than 9 months.
Yeah, I was gonna. So is that unusual? Now I'm kind of new to politics. I've been in entertainment for years, and so but I've always been interested in politics. So now I'm turning over a new leaf, as it were. I would like to ask the senator and Chris, Senator Bullard, is it normal? I mean, like when you campaign, is it abnormal for you to be able to campaign and raise money from other states?
No, it's not outside the normal scope of things. Especially from the FEC guidelines for federal campaigns really restricts getting a lot of corporate money through kind of straightforward regular means, and so you have to rely on a number of donors. What I have to compliment Tim on is that. Similar to Senator Sanders, he's been able to get a lot of these small donors and accumulate. And if you could really, as Jill sort of pointed out, touch on what the average amount is, because similar to the $27 that we became accustomed to with Senator Sanders, you have a similar kind of thing in terms of the average donor to your campaign doesn't exceed a certain amount.
My average donation is $17. And 200,000 times now, somebody has clicked on their mouse pad, to donate $17.
Wow.
A very high percentage, like 97% or something like that, of my donations are less than $200. You know, I have hardly any donations that are $2,000 and above. And you compare that to Wasserman Schultz, and she's raising probably $1 million just from people donating $2,000 or more. She's got a super PAC that's now flooding the district with campaign ads. A lot of them are attack ads against me. And you look at who's behind her super PAC. There's a billionaire hedge fund manager. The hedge fund is based in the Virgin Islands. It's Paloma Partners, and it has $100 million of investments in the energy industry, which probably explains why Debbie Wasserman Schultz has had such a hard time figuring out where she stands on fracking in the Everglades.
To that point, if you don't mind sort of touching on, we know that there are 435 members of Congress, right? So there's not a high expectation by someone who votes on a congressional member that person's going to be able to pass a bill or necessarily, quote-unquote, get things done in the traditional sense. Up in D.C. And so it really boils down to levels of advocacy.
Yes.
As well as your ability to deal with certain things in the community. So in those two lanes, could you sort of touch on what the difference between you and your opponent would be in terms of what would it be like to have a Congressman Tim Canova in Washington? What's he advocating for? Is he on the front lines doing X, Y, or Z? And then back home in the district, what can one expect of the local appeal of a Congressman Tim Canova on the local level if you were blessed to be put in that position?
Well, thank you. The advocacy would be very much along the lines of what I've been advocating for the last almost 30 years now as a lawyer, a political activist, and a law professor. And I've been calling for a New Deal for this generation for a long time. when I say New Deal, based on, you know, Franklin Roosevelt through John Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King, that whole era where the government was there to help not just provide a safety net, but beyond that, to have a very strong, vibrant public sector. And you see this after the 1929 crash, the Great Depression. Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal provided public sector jobs and hope to millions of people, and it really helped rebuild this country at that time during the 30s. The physical infrastructure, the parklands, the forest system. And you see this generation with the 2008 financial collapse, the Federal Reserve comes in, makes trillions of dollars of low-interest loans to the same banks that caused the crisis, but hardly anything for Main Street and Martin Luther King Streets. And, you know, I think this generation is overdue for a New Deal. And, of course, I wouldn't be the only one advocating for this. And in Congress presently, John Conyers is somebody I've worked with him and his staff. I've been on the board of directors of the National Jobs for All Coalition, and we've worked with Representative Conyers and his staff. And Representative Conyers is always putting forth, like, some of the best full employment bills and public works bills. And those are the kinds of things that I would be championing if I were a member of Congress.
We have a question. A caller. Omar on line one. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk, Omar.
Yeah, I like what he was just saying. And the more I listen to this stuff, the more I'm more concerned about it's really the people are the government. And one thing I liked about Tim to add is that he called on people to be more accountable for taking ownership of the people that they have in government. Like, I think it was Winston Churchill said, if you want to have an argument against democracy, just talk to the average voter for 5 minutes. And when you look at these Trump voters, and I just think that people have to take responsibility. We can put all these people in Congress. We can do whatever we want to do. We voted in the government that we have in now. So basically, we're responsible for what we're getting. And so how do we go about getting people to really know what they're supposed to be doing, as opposed to just going in the booth and voting and then going home? But in 4 years, you ain't never called your congressman, you never called your state senator, you never called them on any issues or anything like that. And then you say something is wrong, but you haven't talked to them in 4 years. And then so we are really the blame. And I just wanted to say that I like the fact that he's holding voters accountable too, because you're not just supposed to just vote and then you just walk away. And then you talk about, oh, well, the government's this and the government's that. But we're not doing anything. We are the government. If we're not doing anything, we're responsible for what we got. And that's, I just want to say that. So it's good to see that people like Tim are running. And unfortunately, I feel like I voted for him today, but I feel like the machine is too big in that aspect, because enough people are not educated on what it really means to be a citizen and what it really means to vote. And I don't know. I just think that, hey, we got a hard road to toe. That's all.
Thank you, Omar.
Joe. You know, Mr. Canova mentioned something earlier in his intro regarding the inability to face the challenger. And I don't vote in this race.
Right.
And so I don't have an axe to grind either way, but I find it very disingenuous of any sitting elected official to not debate a challenger, whether it's Miss Wasserman Schultz not debating Mr. Canova,
no.
Whether it's Murphy not debating Mr. Grayson or Miss Keith, whether it's whether it's Representative Daphne Campbell not debating the six or five other people, including Jason Pizzo in Senate District 38, I find it very disingenuous that an elected official who is seeking someone's vote will not go and speak on their record that people are paying them. You know, remember, these elected officials are paid with our money. And so an election is also, particularly a primary, is also about explaining to people what you've done over the past 2 years. It's not about Tim Canova. It's not about, Mr. Grayson or Miss Keith. It's not about Senate District 38, Mr. Pizzo. It's about
an elected official explaining to its public, to the public, what they've done
in that job.
How does that make you feel?
It angers me and frustrates me. I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a public servant. She should be serving the public, not serving herself or serving special interests. And part of serving the public is being accountable to the public. And that does mean publicly defending your record and speaking to your constituents. Not only does she dodge debates, when she actually does speak in public, from what I hear from everybody, she doesn't even take questions anymore. You know, everything is very scripted. And if I could just go back to Omar's comment, you know, everyone wants change. People are not satisfied with the status quo, at least, you know, most ordinary folks. Maybe the special interests love the status quo. But then the question is, how do we bring about change? You know, and there is a responsibility that all of us have to stand up and to be more civically engaged, which is what I've been trying to do and what millions of people are doing this year, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem is that a lot of voters don't have time to learn the issues. A lot of folks are just busy trying to put food on their table, and they don't really have time to engage in the issues. And I just want to say one thing that our campaign has done that I'm very proud of. Not only have we raised a lot of money through the grassroots, but we're spending it through grassroots organizing. So we've got, I think, what's probably the largest field operation of any House race in the country right now.
And you must.
We've got people knocking on 10,000 doors a week. And they're not just knocking on the door.
And making phone calls.
That's right. And they're not just leaving literature. They're engaging in discussions with folks. They're learning what are the issues of concern to folks. That's what democracy should look like. It's a dialogue.
Yeah.
Right. But fundamentally, you're a law professor. I sometimes forget that I graduated from law school, St. Thomas Law School here in Miami Gardens, Florida. but I mean, you know, again, I don't have an axe to grind. But even in our mayoral race in Dade County, you know, the mayor, the chief executive of our county, apparently has a hesitancy, a strategic position of which is not to debate or to very limit
well,
the debate.
I mean, it's kind of across the board, and I should say all the way up the food chain.
Right.
You know, because now Donald Trump is trying to get out of the debates.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, and that's kind of that, I don't know, airy fairy kind of campaign that's like happening. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, and it's very hard when you have to answer the questions with people sitting there.
That's right.
And you can't just do that like kind of ring around the rosy thing that they do, and you know, don't look at me, look at that shiny object over there.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that is so. Are do you all have one scheduled? So that's no, you
no.
can't. It's
you
Thursday.
Know,
yeah, there's no more debates left in this.
How many times did you debate?
One time, and
for
4 or 5 months, I was challenging her to debate, and she was ignoring me and avoiding it. And we raised the heat on her so much that she told the press, and was when she was looking for endorsements from the newspapers down here, she told the press that she would debate me. And then she said she was in negotiations on debating. I'm like, negotiations with whom? Not with me.
Has the Sun Sentinel done a poll in your race? Has there been any public polling in your race?
The last poll was an FAU poll. Now, let me just preface it by saying it was a poll of likely voters.
Uh-huh.
Right. Who's a likely voter in an August primary? It's a narrow field. It doesn't include Democrats who would only vote in presidential races and not in the August primary. So that poll had her ahead of me by almost 10 points, I believe, with a margin of error of about 5 points.
So, but the point is that you are a viable candidate for the position.
Well, I'll say even better than that, because our field,
I'm sure you would.
Our field numbers are showing us ahead, quite frankly.
Right.
And
yeah.
The reason is the supervisor of elections has announced that thousands of people have re-registered independent or Republican in our district. Why? Because they want to vote for me. And thousands of Democrats who don't normally vote in an August primary have now cast ballots in early voting and in vote by mail.
I just find it very disingenuous, just on pure principle, that the chair of the Democratic National Party up until a few weeks ago,
I was about to say,
would not want to debate someone who is obviously a viable candidate, which constituents in her district obviously have an appeal to, would not want to face that person and explain her record.
Well, you know, we had that conversation here right after the first day of the Democratic convention, and I said, you know, as I came to work today and I took that Debbie Wasserman Schultz sign off my lawn and that whole foolishness. And she just never came out and said anything. And I think, I just don't understand what that is this season, where people don't get out in front of things. It happened, get out in front of it, face it, and keep it moving. Well, because, like, I don't think that it's going to be a problem nationally, but that, you know, Clinton should not be struggling like this. I just don't, just say, you know.
Is Dwight supposed to be a candidate now? Shouldn't you be, you know, introducing?
Yeah, you too. Yeah. Get out in front of it.
I have no problem debating anyone
ever.
Just pointing out, as Mr. Noah was going to tirade about incumbents not showing up, I've accepted all my debate invitations.
Thank you, Dwight.
And I have no problem showing up and standing on my record. And really, I think that's what all candidates should do. I mean, good, bad, or indifferent, if you've taken some challenging votes, some things that you want to explain as to why you voted this way or that way, if someone's going to provide you a platform to do it, whether it's at a senior citizen's home, a school cafeteria, whatever the case may be, you should be there to explain it.
Well, but that's easy for Dwight and for me to say, because we have been representing the people, perhaps, right? We are taking positions that are in harmony with what our constituents would want. The problem with Debbie Wasserman Schultz is she's taken so much of this corporate money. How can she possibly publicly defend her own record? She takes so much money from payday lenders, and she's resisted President Obama's Consumer Financial Protection Bureau from regulating payday lenders here in Florida who are charging over 300% interest rates.
Yeah, and I see, and those are the issues that I think are important. The whole Clinton Foundation and that whole access piece, that doesn't so much trouble me, because who else would the Shah of Iran be talking to but the State Secretary of State? You know what I'm saying? There's certain things like that. But in terms of on a local level, you're exactly right. Okay, we have to take our break. So any parting words you'd like to say to your people? You got T-minus 48.
Sure. You know, this is a historic election, and it's incredible how much grassroots support we've gotten and how much traction we've gotten. We're on the verge of a historic victory, a historic upset right here in Florida's 23rd. If we can unseat somebody who's been swimming in so much corporate money and have such national visibility as Debbie Wasserman Schultz, it opens up a whole future of possibilities, not just here in South Florida, but around the country. I would urge folks to get out there and vote on Election Day, and not just to vote for us, for our campaign, but to give your voices, to speak to your neighbors, your friends, and even strangers. That's how we're going to win this race, is through grassroots effort. And I just want to thank folks for all the support they've already shown to us. People realize this is not a race about Debbie Wasserman Schultz or about me. It's about the future of our democracy and what kind of democracy we want to have.
Every day. You hear it. He's hustling. And we like somebody who can go from the streets to the suites and keep it moving. Tim Canova, thank you so much.
Thank you,
for coming in on Hot Talk. And we will be right back on the other side. I am Jill Tracy, and this is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Hot Talk will be right back on Hot 105.
Car accident? Who you call next makes all the difference. Program 1-800-411-PAIN in your phone. Car accident? Remember, after 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service, non-employee spokesperson.
Switch to Metro PCS and get a free Samsung Galaxy on 5. Sales tax not included.
Welcome.
Caribbean's WOW sale has been extended for 2 days only. Get 30% off every guest, every ship in the Caribbean, up to $200 to spend at sea, and half off your deposit. All on Royal Caribbean, the cruise line voted best overall 13 years running by Travel Weekly readers. But hurry, this second chance for a once-in-a-lifetime adventure now ends Monday. So call 1-800-ROYAL-CARIBBEAN or your travel agent now. Offer applies to select sailing. Savings vary by sailing. Other restrictions apply. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
It's just a short hop across the state to a chilled-out paradise that the New York Times called one of the top 52 places to go in the world. TripAdvisor called it the home of the number one beach in America in 2016. It's St. Pete Clearwater, a collection of unique communities boldly jutting out into the Gulf of Mexico, where the water is a bit warmer, the sand's a bit whiter, and it's got Weekend Getaway written all over it. So indulge yourself in St. Pete's lively cafes and hopping craft beer scene, or just explore our 35 miles of powder-soft white sand beaches and emerald clear Gulf waters. Get your thrills at Busch Gardens Tampa Bay or chill out at a nightly sunset celebration at Pier 60 on Clearwater Beach. Oh, and be sure to check out the Salvador Dali Museum, because that guy was amped up. Find your perfect place to stay in St. Pete Clearwater and enter to win a Gulf Beach getaway at liveamplified.com.
This is attorney Al Barzakai, Big Al from 1-800-HURT-123. I want to remind everyone of the three must-dos after an accident. First, get a police report. It'll have a lot of valuable information to help process your claim. Second, take pictures of the accident scene and all vehicles involved. Third, call a lawyer and not a referral service. But not just any lawyer, me, Attorney Big Al at 1-800-HURT-123. That's 1-800-HURT-123. From my main office in Hollywood, I want to help you. Call me now, 1-800-HURT-123. That's 1-800-HURT-123.
Turn up the light.
There are lots of messages out there about what you should do after you've been injured in a car accident. At Golson Spine Rehabilitation Center, our message is simple. You're hurt. You need a chiropractor. And that chiropractor is your choice. Not a referral company's or an attorney's, but yours. And when you choose Golson Spine Rehab Center, you get a team of qualified doctors and physical therapists ready to take care of your injuries. So whether it's our plantation, Pembroke Pines, North Lauderdale, or Aventura office, just know that we're putting your injuries first. After an accident, exercise your power to choose and call Golson Spine Rehab Center at 866-GOLDSON. That's 866-465-3766. Four locations to serve you and one convenient number, 866-GOLDSON, because chiropractic and physical therapy work.
Who are you walking for at the next Autism Speaks Walk?
For our sons.
We walk for Ashley.
It's just bringing everyone together to show our love and support.
Join us at our next walk sponsored by Alpha Z Delta. Register and donate at AutismSpeaksWalk.org.
Been in an accident? Call Julio.
No, call John.
No, call Julio.
Are you kidding me? Who are these guys? You might as well call Fulano. They're not lawyers. If you need a lawyer, call a lawyer. I'm Robert Rubenstein. I've been a lawyer for over 30 years. Check out my results at RubensteinLaw.com. I'm easy to reach. Just call me at 1-800-FL-LEGAL. It's that easy. Call 1-800-FL-LEGAL. Offices in Miami, Broward, West Palm Beach, Orlando, and Tampa. I want to be your attorney.
What's the one thing I've been putting off doing? Oh, wow. Let me think.
My one thing, probably lowering my car payment.
Oh, definitely upgrading the equipment at my salon.
Converting the den into a room for mom.
Oh, okay. My one thing, remodeling my kitchen so I can start hosting our big Sunday family dinners.
Whatever your one thing might be, let's make it happen with the Wells Fargo Great Rate Event. From now through September 30th, 2016, we're giving eligible Wells Fargo customers special interest rate discounts on select new personal loans and lines of credit, home equity lines of credit, auto refinance loans, and small business loans and lines of credit. Don't miss out on the Great Rate Event. Stop by Wells Fargo. Call 1-866-578-5671 or visit wellsfargo.com/greatrate. Subject to credit qualification, Wells Fargo Bank N.A., all rights reserved, member FDIC. Equal housing lender, NMLSR, ID 399-801.
Hey, what's up? This is Robin Thicke, and you're listening to WHQT, Coral Gables, Miami's Hot 105.
Hot Media Group Station.
Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
Yes, indeed, we are back. 888-550-9105 on Hot Talk. So it's candidates open mic night on Hot Talk. Want to thank Tim Canova again for coming in. Sheriff Scott Israel, as always, for coming in. And now, let Hot Talk at Midnight. The ladies are in the room. Shouts out to the Herald recommended for states for Senator Pam Keith.
Hey, it's such a pleasure to be here with you, Jill.
Yes, good to see you again.
Amen.
It's been a minute. You've been busy traveling all over the state.
Yes, ma'am. I've been a road warrior.
Yeah.
On my whistle stop tour.
So this is it for the primary.
That's right. Well, Tuesday.
Right. Well, yeah, you got, 48 hours and counting.
Yes.
And okay, so now then, if you win in the primary,